The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 18, 1 through 8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" Pastor John will now bring us this morning's message.
Good morning. The judge stands out in the parking lot for a moment. He sighs deeply and breathes in a last bit of fresh air. He will take his seat in the courtroom again like he does every single day. He will preside over all of the action, but if you think this is some kind of glamorous courtroom on a television drama or something, you're wrong. Nothing of note happens here. No drama, no news, no justice. And it's been like that for decades. When this judge went to law school, he was pursuing his dream. He wanted to make a major difference in the city. He wanted to make justice happen. In his mind, the legal system wasn't the problem. It wasn't broken. It was still serving its purpose. The problem was the judges themselves. They came from this generation that didn't care about justice or the lives of everyday people. They only cared about their pockets and their reputations and their own power, and they worked the system for their gain. And he decided he would establish a different court for the future, but here he was. He wasn't any different after all. He was still serving the same system, a system that benefited him and his powerful friends, not the poor. And after all these years, he was numb and just frozen by the system. Desensitized, defeated, done. When she married the man, everyone around town was talking. They said it was about the money. That was the game she played, and now she was his widow. And maybe there was some truth to the rumors. Her motives were always a little shady. The man's family had suspicions when he introduced her 10 years ago, and now he's gone. The disease moved swiftly through his body, and she moved swiftly to gain his inheritance. And then his son showed up out of nowhere, the son that lived this lavish lifestyle in a nearby city, careless about his father's gradually failing health. She was the one who took care of him. She was at his bedside those cold, silent nights, during those cold, silent years that he was dying. And now she was the widow. She was the one in that society who would have been at the bottom of the economic ladder. And the inheritance could make the difference. She was older now and wiser. She could start her own business, her childhood dream. She could make something of herself if she could only get that inheritance. And better to beg that miserable judge than to beg for another lonely man's attention. That's what she thought. But this judge is immovable. She was just like all the others that come into his courtroom. Faceless, nameless numbers, one after the other. And the judge would make his rulings with about as much interest as you fill up your gas with car. or fill up your car with gas. Did it matter how often that she came to beg him? Did he listen? Did he understand? Did any of it matter to him? And the word around town was that the judge didn't care about people, and nor did he care much about God, and so he didn't care about justice either. But when he took his chair in the courtroom that day, something was a little different. Something had changed. The night before, his daughter told him that she wanted to go to school and learn to be a judge just like him. She looked up to him. He was important to her. She was proud of him. She told her friends at school that her father was a respected judge in the city. He thought to himself, if she only knew what I did every day. And then the woman came barreling through the doors at the front of the courtroom. She throws herself on the ground, kneels before the judge, and began to beg for justice. Just give me half of my inheritance, she said. I'll turn it into something good. I won't come back here to beg again. Yes, the judge spoke. I order that you receive half of the inheritance. And the widow stopped. Kneeling on the ground, she slowly moved her head upward and looked at the judge. And for the first time, he was looking her in the eyes, acknowledging her as human. Speaking slowly, the judge addressed the court. I have no respect for God and no respect for others. This is true, but I will grant her justice because of her persistence. Because she will never stop coming to me. And the woman left the courtroom that day with new hope for her future. And it was a tiny step forward for the judge. But even this tiny step toward justice broke the cycle of indifference that buried him like quicksand for years. And that night, for the first time in a long time, when his proud daughter looked him in the eye, he wasn't ashamed. Now, when Jesus told this story, he was speaking to his disciples. This was around the time when it became clear that being a disciple of Jesus was going to have a price. And the reality is that the conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Jewish religious leaders and the Roman political authorities was coming into clear view. We are heading toward a breaking point. And so the stories that surround this parable in Luke's book are surreal. They're about this stunning emergence of God's kingdom. They're about Jesus constantly predicting his death and resurrection. In the midst of this, there are these ordinary disciples that are just like you and me, wondering what in the world they've gotten themselves into. And Jesus knows this, and he tells the disciples, no matter what, do not lose heart, never give up. He tells them to pray without ceasing, and he tells them this story about a widow and a judge. And no doubt the disciples will draw courage from the widow's story. The world is against her. It's been against her from day one, but she is persistent, fighting against the hand she was dealt. Her faith is persistent in the face of injustice, in the face of this indifferent, disengaged judge. He himself, the face of a broken system that perpetuates systemic injustice. But then something remarkable suddenly happens. The judge rules in her favor. And like the widow, the disciples are stunned by this turn of events. They did not see it coming. Look at this judge, Jesus says, this awful, unjust joke of a judge who rules in favor of the widow, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? If even this judge is able to reward the persistent voice of the widow, can you imagine how the God of justice will respond to you when you cry out? First, Jesus tells the disciples, first you need to cry out and have some faith. Closely connected to this idea of having faith in the face of injustice is the idea of having hope. And the prophets of old, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Micah and Amos and others, were inherited by the people of Jesus' time and place. The prophetic words were in the air that they breathed, but more than that, they were fuel to resist the status quo. No one resisted the status quo like Jesus, and Jesus considered himself a prophet. He shared the dreams and hopes of prophets of old. And at the heart of this prophetic imagination rests this persistent hope that the promises of God will come true, that the future will be better than the present, that dreams for a new heaven and new earth will come true, dreams for a time when justice will flow like a mighty river. That is the hope. And that hope carries through the words of the prophets down through the generations and the centuries, and it comes out in the words and the actions of Jesus of Nazareth. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, Jesus says. Tomorrow will be better than today. So for all of us who are burdened by the status quo of today, Jesus' words are meant to give us, like the widow, new hope for the future. The story of the widow's persistence gives the disciples hope. But sometimes, maybe oftentimes, hope feels very far off. And you wonder, will tomorrow ever come? While we wait for tomorrow, we have the realities of today before us. Today, our world is burdened by racism, economic and sexual exploitation, environmental degradation, political polarization, a refugee crisis, war, and a political reality show that will not solve any of it. These are such complex problems. But they're more than problems. They're human beings. Human beings are suffering. And it's part of our Anabaptist Christian faith that we look this suffering in the eye and do what we can to help heal it. It's also part of our faith to promote the things that are already good and life-giving in our world. But I confess, as someone who cares about peace and justice, I often struggle to know where to start. It can have this sort of freezing effect. And like most of you, I wake up each morning, start the routine for the day, get some exercise, have something to eat, go to work. And if we're lucky, we spend some time together as a family in the evening, make dinner, clean up, do it all over the next day. And in the midst of this routine, there are these familiar worries that lie beneath the surface for most of us. Will we make ends meet? Is my kid really doing okay at their new school? How are my parents' health? How are they getting along? And the list goes on. And that's not a complaint, but I really struggle sometimes to find the energy for anything more. Do you know what I mean? Life is full. And the conversations that I have with so many of you lead me to know that you do know that feeling, regardless of your stage of life. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. There's enough for today. So Jesus' parable ends as he explains to the disciples that God will grant us justice. Jesus is pretty clear, though, that we will have a role to play in that too. It's because God desires a relationship with us. God works with us. That's where prayer comes in. And prayer isn't just something we do because that's what good Christians do or something. Prayer is how we encounter the living God in our lives. And the story of the widow and the judge is about prayer, about the persistent search for hope. And in that sense, it's also about tapping into the power that God gives us, God gives you, to change the things that you can today. And when the burdens of today weigh us down to the point that we become frozen, Jesus tells us we can pray. And that's something we can do. Prayerful persistence in the face of today's challenges is powerful. Makes a difference. It's what we learn in the story of the widow. Pray for justice, pray for peace. And we'll talk more about Chicago next week. But I think of the many people we met there who are praying with their words and actions in the face of tremendous injustice and violence. living testament of prayerful persistence and faithful relentlessness. But as I contemplate this story this morning, I empathize with the judge as well as the widow. I don't want to make this sermon, or make the judge in this sermon, be some sort of stand-in for all that's wrong. And I think that some of us may relate to the judge more than we might relate to the widow. The judge isn't persistent. The judge is indifferent. And our lives are full and our time is busy. And like the judge, maybe we aren't the ones struggling to persist in the face of tremendous injustice without basic needs, but maybe we are trying to overcome our complacency. Maybe we've become a little numb to it all. Perhaps we are in danger of becoming desensitized not only to the problems of the world, but also to ourselves and our relationships with others, just like the judge. Maybe you've lost a piece of yourself, the piece of you that was passionate and empowering, and there are seasons in our lives where that's how we feel. So if that's where you're at this morning, then maybe you do see a part of yourself in the judge. And if that's where you're at, this story is also good news for you. Not only does the judge give new life to the widow when he grants her justice, he gives new life to himself. Tomorrow will be different for the widow and for the judge because of what they did today. It's a late August morning today, friends, and we've gathered here in this place to worship. This isn't a courtroom, thank goodness. It's a church. All of you persisted through the last week that is now behind us. God knows all the joys and the challenges, successes and struggles that are on your heart this morning. So whether you arrived here today and took your seat in these pews feeling like the widow, resilient, hopeful, persistent, but also a little beaten down. Whether you arrive here today like the judge, indifferent, hopeless, desensitized, but also feeling ready to take a small step toward change, maybe you feel a little bit like both. But whoever you are, Jesus' words are for you. Do not lose heart. Pray without ceasing. Pray for the power to change the things that you can today. Do not lose heart. Tomorrow is coming. Amen.